Welcome to the Adonis Index podcast. I'm John Barbin, and with me today is Mike Schaefer, and he came in third place in our transformation contest. If you're listening on iTunes, bounce over to adonisindex.com to check out his picks. Mike, you're one of the bigger guys we've ever had in our contest. You've got a lot of muscle mass, and your pictures look great. I guess I'll just start this differently. What did you think when you saw your pictures?
Well, when you say bigger guys, I'm actually trying to be a smaller guy. So,
oh, okay.
Turns out, but I guess what the first reaction to my pictures that from my own perspective was, God, these before pictures look awful. Which I guess, you know, is somewhat of the point. But the after pictures I like. You know, I guess I want to be further along. I probably got another 10 pounds to lose, I think. Maybe more, who knows. But certainly a drastic improvement from where I started. So that's fantastic.
Is it what you expected you could do? Let me say it another way. Did you even have an expectation when you entered the contest?
I kind of did, and it really wasn't that far off. In fact, it was pretty dead on. The way I found you guys and ultimately started the contest was I saw your transformation, and you went from roughly 220 or so at 6 foot tall. And I got down to like 185, and that was kind of almost exactly my situation. That's where I was at the time. I was 219 at 6'1", and wanted to get to a status or a state that was equivalent to yours, kind of more, definitely more lean and more muscular, or at least keep the existing muscle that I had. Working out. I guess when I started working out in high school, but so I've been working out for quite a while. I'm 41 now, so it's probably 25 years or so. But I've always been a little bit overweight, I would say. I've never really seen my abs. It's just never gotten to that state of leanness. I've probably sat at 15 to 20% body fat for 25 years. And that's, at least for me, was kind of a safe zone. I was never crappy enough to motivate myself to do anything dramatic, to lose the weight or the excess baggage that I was carrying around. But it wasn't necessarily good enough that I would be satisfied with where I was. It was just kind of a state of uncomfortableness or dissatisfaction, I guess, with where I was. But it wasn't horrible. You know, I'm still probably more fit than 70% or 75% of the people in the U.S., but never particularly comfortable, you know, like going to pool parties or whatever. I just kind of always felt, you know, I could do better.
Yeah. So, well, you basically were shirt on big.
Yeah, yeah. And frankly, that kind of happened to a large degree, say 9 months or a year before the contest started. I'd say probably in high school and college, I was, you know, 185, 190. And I got to, well, I had kids late in life. I had twins at, I was 38. So I got to a stage at 38, and I basically hit the wall because the twins just took priority in my life, and there was virtually no time to work out. You know, it was all just diaper changing and bottle feeding and waking up in the middle of the night. And the workout plan and the eating plan basically went to hell. So at 40, as I'm nearing my 40th birthday, I'm thinking, oh, my God, okay, I got to do something here. So I pledged to myself, I'm going to try and get in the best shape of my life. And I don't know if that was midlife crisis talking or if that was just at that point, an opportunity to do it finally. The kids were getting older and a little bit more self-sufficient. My job was easing up a little bit in the time commitment, so I had the time to dedicate to do it and at least the mind power to give it some thought and figure out a plan. So at, you know, 39, 40, I decided, okay, here I go. I'm going to be the best shape of my life. You know, what that means to me, I don't really have the faintest clue other than I'm thinking, okay, I want to be looking like men's health or men's fitness kind of cover model person.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. How to get there? No particular clue. So reading these magazines at the time and being relatively clueless that I am, one of the big misconceptions that I had was that adding new muscle to my frame would somehow melt away my existing fat, that the muscles would kind of pop out of the fat, and the fat would just vanish before my eyes. And, you know, some of these magazines and commentators will tell you, like, the muscles, each pound of muscle will burn 50 calories in a day or whatever nonsense they come up with, which I think running through you is not at all the case. But in my thinking of the time, I'm thinking, okay, if I put on, whatever, 10 pounds of muscle, then I can burn off, whatever, 500 extra calories a day. The fat will kind of magically disappear as I sleep or, you know, stand there, watch TV, and I'll be good to go. You know, I'll bulk up to 200, and it'll be fantastic. So I begin my quest then to add muscle. Still following the nonsense of the magazines, I end up basically working out like a maniac.
It's a tempting way to go, right? Like, it sounds like, if that's all it takes, that sounds really nice, like going to the gym and just build more muscle and that burns fat. Like, it's really tempting.
Yeah, I suppose if the underlying premise was true, you'd be set. You know, if your 10 pounds of muscle would actually burn 500 calories a day, you'd be pretty good. You know, it'd be fantastic. You could muscle your way up to leanness. But as I found out, the underlying premise is not true. So I was working out basically like a maniac, kind of ramped up my workouts to new power levels. I was taking basically every set to failure and working out 5-6 days a week. So it's just kind of craziness to begin with. But the other side of that coin is I was also eating like a maniac, which was, I suppose, in some degree helping me and many, for the most part, hurting me. Still following some of these magazine, I guess, guidelines or guideposts, but had me thinking, okay, you got to eat big to be big. You got to eat tons of protein. This protein, of course, is your building block to all your muscle. If you don't have enough protein, you're just going to fade away. You need pre-workout meals. You need post-workout meals. You need handfuls of supplements. You need all this junk, or your muscles are going to fall apart. And of course, you'll be screwed because then you won't have the 50 calories per day per pound of muscle that's eating away your fat. So you'll be skinny and fat, or you'll be scrawny and fat at the same time.
Right. So at this point, you didn't at all believe in the concept of cutting calories or even adding cardio or any of that stuff.
No. In fact, I wasn't. Cutting calories wasn't even on the radar. Adding calories was on the radar. The magazines, yeah, I'd read articles about how, and these are, you know, tremendously huge guys, but Lee Haney, one of the giant bodybuilding dudes, he's eating 7,000 calories a day spread out among 10 or 12 meals and all this craziness. So I was convinced that I should be at, you know, at least like 4,000 calories a day.
Yeah.
So I'm chugging away, working out and eating, you know, basically as much as I can stuff down. And whenever I'm even slightly hungry, I take a protein bar so I can get more protein in. And you know, taking some supplements, glutamine and arginine, which I kind of didn't do anything for me, but seemed like I should be taking them, so I was. And, of course, all this resulted in some pretty quick weight gain. Almost all of it is fat. I, for the first time, reached 200, which I'm thinking, great. You know, this is pretty cool. I'm certainly getting bigger. Sure, I'm big, obviously. People are noticing I'm getting bigger, which is, you know, pretty good. Then it gets to 210. I'm thinking, well, okay, you know, the muscles aren't popping out yet. I'm starting to have some self-doubt. I'm getting to 220. I'm like, okay, this is clearly not the proper plan.
So how long did you do this for?
It was probably a good 6 to 9 months.
You know, oh, man, really?
Yeah, I was going to town.
Now, did it start to feel like kind of gross to be always fully fed like that? Or did you not even think about
it? Yeah, you said I get weird issues that I just never experienced before. Cause, you know, before this 6 month quest to be in great shape at 40, I cruised along for 25 years being 15 to 20% body fat all the time. And it was kind of just naturally eating at maintenance. I would just cruise along, eat whatever I ate, work out. I enjoy working out, so I'd work out, I'd play sports, I'd goof off, and roughly stay the same. And that just lasted forever.
So you actually had maintenance figured out?
Yeah, as it turns out, you know, it wasn't maintaining at the level I wanted, but I was maintaining. And then I kind of, you know, when I didn't work out for a year and a half there, when my twin boys were young, it got pretty ugly. Like, I wasn't sleeping, I wasn't working out, I was eating pretty crappy. So at the end of that, I kind of looked like a zombie. I was just drained and pale and just awful. So the weight gain was actually an improvement in the physical appearance up to a point, up to probably, you know, 200, maybe even 210. 220 was ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, then I'm at 220 thinking, oh, God, what have I done here? And certainly, to answer your question, it actually does feel pretty uncomfortable. You can feel it in your hips and your ankles. And you're so well fed and so carved up that I was getting, like, weird water retention issues. So, like, every once in a while, my ankles would get really big. I'm like, oh, my God, what the hell is this? I was like...
people who haven't, like, kind of done it don't, I mean, you know, I'm sure some of the younger, really lean, you know, dare I say skinny guys whose goal is to get big, you know, probably can't even fathom the idea of being over 200 pounds, but it's, unless you're really tall and just really big, it's not a good feeling to just stuff yourself to those weights. I don't think people who haven't tried what you've done, and, you know, clearly I've done it in the past, it's not comfortable. Like, yeah, you can be big and heavy, but this actually doesn't feel that good.
Right. Yeah, certainly. It doesn't look good either.
So anyway, so at 220, you hit your. So what's the change? What's the what makes you do the about face and smarten up?
I'm sitting there going, well, this isn't working. And also at that same time, our family's relocating to Southern California. So I'm thinking in the back of my mind, like, okay, now I'm going to the beach. So this is going to be tricky. Because shirt on big is good enough, but shirt off big or shirt off, it's not looking so good. So I need to change direction here and figure out something else. So start fishing around the internet for ways to slim down while keeping the muscle. And found Eat Stop Eat, and then through the Adonis podcasts, and ultimately onto the program, the Weightlifting Adonis Index program. Just the way the timing of it worked out for me was kind of the perfect storm of information. And it hit, like, it's the right time. I took the information as it turns out. I didn't know that at the time, but I took the information a little bit out of order. So I'm going through some old podcasts, and I think there was actually a podcast from 2009 or early 2010 about how many, I think the title of it is like how many calories to lose weight. And this was the one where you drop, I think your first big transformation. So you're at like 219, which is about where I was, and you're dropping down to get to your proper AI index. Also at the same time, you're doing what I think is your second transformation. You're kind of finishing touches to your transformation.
Yeah, yeah.
In a year, probably in actual time, a year later or so.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Your photos are on the AI website, showing you, probably something like 8 or 9% body fat, pretty ripped up, abs showing, something. Okay, this guy is basically my size currently, or was my size, and has the look that I want. So let's see what it is that he's done. What I really liked about that particular podcast, and I think I've listened to it probably 30 times now, because it's what I listen to as I'm goofing around on the elliptical. You break it down that it's just math. It's a pure mathematical formula. It's not all this goofy food combining and magic foods and the Kai berries and total bullcrap. It's calories in versus calories out. You take your BMR, you figure out how much you want to lose, how fast you want to lose it. You figure out what deficit per day or per week you need to accomplish, and you knock it out. I think what you did and basically what I tried to copy was 1,000 calories a day deficit. That gets you, of course, to 7,000 calories a week or roughly 2 pounds a week of weight loss. And that's basically what I tried to copy. I guess also at the same time, there was this, the news story came out about this guy, and he's a professor, I think, actually in Kansas somewhere.
Oh, Kansas State, yeah, Dr. Hobb, I think it is, yeah.
Yeah.
And he lost, what, 30? Yeah, he lost 27, 28 pounds just eating snack cakes and stuff. And he tossed in some vegetables in a and a multivitamin. But I'm glad that came out because it reinforced my point that you can lose weight eating whatever as long as you eat less. The point isn't to do that forever, but you also don't lose weight forever. You just lose weight for a short period of time.
Exactly. And that's exactly what it did for me. It reinforced the point. It was like, okay, you don't have to eat all this protein. You don't have to eat all this magic crap. In fact, you don't have to eat vegetables or fruits or anything even remotely healthy.
Or if you follow Brad Pilon's advice, you don't have to eat anything.
That's exactly right. You just count your calories and do what I call my little mantra is just do the math. I guess also about that same time as your contest, the previous contest was ending. And then, so there's a new contest coming down the pipeline in 3 or 4 weeks. So I'm basically figuring out on the spreadsheet, because I'm kind of a numbers geek anyway. So I'm on the spreadsheet going, okay, here I'm 219. I'm going to lose 2 pounds a week for 12 weeks, and this is the way I'm going to do it. I'm just going to do 1,000 calories a day, just completely every single day for this contest. I'm going to try and do it the way John did it. So I'm going to say he tried to eat, and I'm just following right from your podcast. It's like he tried to eat between 1,200 and 1,500 calories a day with a BMR of something like 1,900. So you're cutting out 600 or 700, 500 to 700 calories per day just eating. And then you do your weightlifting and a little bit of cardio if you need it.
To train off the rest.
So that's what I do. I have it all set up. I'm tracking every variable as best I can. So I'm going to count calories, which is really the first time I've ever done it. I'm going to count how many calories I burn doing cardio. I'm going to make some educated guess as to how many calories it is to lift weights for 45 minutes to an hour and make it happen. So I'm going to do a 1,000 calorie deficit a day. With my BMR at something probably about 1,900, 2,000 of that weight. So I start out, and I make it a couple days, and then I'm just ready to die. The eating at 1,200 or 1,400 was just brutal for me, because I'm coming off of eating 4,000 a day.
Mm.
So it's just way too big a cut for me. Like I just can't do it. And then my energy level is horrible, and I'm irritable as can be. So I'm like, okay, let's just adjust it a little bit and say, let's eat at BMR. Let's eat at 2,000 and increase cardio. And that's, it'll still ultimately get to your 1,000 deficit. If you do at that point, you're up to like an hour of cardio.
Mm.
And that goes against a little bit of what people are saying at least in the forum of the Dallas Index forums, and they're saying, you know, don't do the cardio, cut it with your diet. But for me, I couldn't do it, at least at the beginning. So
yeah.
I ramp up cardio, and for me, that's what made it sustainable. I felt better, had more energy. It actually helped reduce my eating to some degree, because I'd get up in the morning, do a little work, like 10 o'clock or so, I'd go and bust out 60 minutes or 80 minutes or whatever it was that I needed on cardio. So then it's, you know, 11 in the morning, 11:30, I shower, and I'm set for lunch. So I've effectively skipped breakfast.
Did you keep the cardio like low intensity, steady state? Like, just give us a rough idea of what or
yeah.
just mix it up?
Completely steady state.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I did. I never did anything high intensity.
Yeah, I tried the high intensity and it was too much.
Yeah.
At that calorie level, and basically just sat my energy for lifting.
Yeah, I'd
lift in the afternoons. So yeah, it's just steady state. It was pretty low intensity. I'm just cranking it out, watching TV or listening to podcasts. It was really quite easy. It's just time consuming more than anything.
Also, people who are listening, hold your thought there for a sec. People, and this is an important point, the fact that you couldn't eat that low. And I mean, it's not like I found it easy, and it's not like I could do it every single day. That was just the goal, and I had to like kind of come back up. I suppose if I charted it, it would have been a bit of a calorie cycling thing where I might knock out a couple of days at 12 to 1500 and then I'd have to come up and then back down. So it's, you know, it's not like I could do that every day. So I know what you're talking about, but also people our size, like yourself and myself, cardio is quite effective because we're big enough that we can knock out a bunch of calories. Like a girl who's 120 pounds and compared to us, we can create quite a deficit because we're moving such a large body versus someone who's a lot smaller than us. So the whether or not cardio works for you sort of thing, or whether or not it's sort of, you know, an hour of it really can do much for you, is sort of dependent on how big you are. Like a guy that's even bigger than you or I can create quite a deficit just with a good hour of cardio. So it's, you know, but people significantly smaller than us, it you know, they might spend the whole hour just for a couple hundred calories, where we can probably push it up to 400 or 500. So the size of your body matters for how useful cardio is. And I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing or what it is, but for people our size, it's quite a viable option. Let's say it that way.
Yeah, it worked well for me. The other thing I did, which is just my kind of game playing with myself more than anything, to keep myself interested and accountable, was I would do cardio based on the previous day's eating. So if I would undereat, say, or eat at my goal, let's say if I ate at my goal, I'd do an hour's worth of cardio. That's just the way the math worked out. If I over 8, then the following day I would do whatever amount of cardio it would take to burn off my hour plus what I overate. So I might have to do an hour and a half. If I was under my eating goal, then I might be able to get away with just 45 minutes or 30 minutes of cardio. So in essence, I'm dialing in my 1,000 calories per day deficit as close to 1,000 as I can with the analysis of how much cardio I'm actually doing.
Right.
I think that helped me in a couple ways. Kept me interested, but also kept me accountable on the eating side. Because at various points, you know, if I'm starving at 10 p.m., you know, the question comes down to, okay, do I want this cookie if I'm going to have to do 10 extra minutes of elliptical tomorrow? Maybe. Do I want 2 cookies? Probably not. Do I want 20 cookies, which, you know, I may have done 2 months earlier? Certainly not, because I'm doing 3 hours of cardio the following day to try and make up for that. So that was actually a good trigger for me to equate whatever it was I was contemplating eating, to calculate that into minutes on the elliptical the following day.
So that's how you learned to teach, you trained yourself to view the food as hours spent or minutes spent.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
To some degree, in the back of my mind, I was always a little bit concerned about doing that much cardio. It's not, I don't think it's normal that anyone would do an hour a day. Maybe an hour, but certainly not an hour and a half a day. But then, because I didn't want to, I guess the other part of it is I didn't want to lose the muscle gains. I didn't want to be a marathon-looking, you know, runner body type.
Yeah, well, no, that didn't happen. You don't look like that.
Right. Ultimately, that's just not going to happen.
Right.
And then I'm also thinking, well, okay, so I'm going to do 60 minutes or 70 minutes of cardio. There are people out there, not me, because I sit at a desk all day, but there are people out there who dig holes or lift whatever it is that they lift, or they walk around all day for 8 hours a day at work.
Mm-hmm.
So my little 60 or 70 minutes of cardio is nowhere near approaching overtraining or body shaping kind of.
It's just not that much compared to people who have a active mobile job, let's say.
Right. So it was just enough for me to balance things.
Right. So did you keep that pattern going for the whole contest then?
Yeah, that was pretty much what I did throughout the whole time. I had, in fact, I had, of 11 of the 12 weeks, that's exactly what I did. I had one week where it was a little bit of a binge fest because I went to Illinois to see my niece get married, and it fell over the July 4th weekend, so it was nonstop barbecues and baked goods and things. So that was rather ugly and set me back a little bit. But other than that particular trip where I was out of my element at home and at the gym, I just kept up with this plan.
Okay, and that sounds good. So what did you – and everyone had some slip-up. So actually having 11 good weeks and one bad one is one of the best runs I've heard of. Most people have a lot more stumbling, let's say, than that. So what did you do from training? Which program were you using?
I did MBF. I figured I would just start at the beginning and work my way through the system.
Did it look pretty familiar to you, like, or did it feel familiar when you did it? Have you done that kind of training before?
I've done all those exercises before. My workout plan had always been kind of haphazard. I do the exercises I like doing for the most part. So I do a split that would be like shoulders, biceps, and tries one day, back and chest and abs the next day, and then legs the following day, and that would repeat.
Yeah.
So the order of things was certainly different, and the rep ranges were certainly different, because I certainly don't train in the 21s or the 3s and 5s zone. I'm pretty much 8 to 12 with no
no variance.
Particular plan or respirator variance. I just do as much as I can do. So right. Like I think I said that earlier, I try and take every set to failure, which may or may not, probably not the best plan, but then at least you know you're training with the proper intensity.
Yeah.
So I'll do as much weight as I can, and if I was planning to do 10 and I can do 14, then that's what I do. If I can only do 6, then that's what I do. So the plan, the MBF was actually fine. Like I wasn't completely shocked. Looking at the next few weeks, 3.0, there's some exercises in there that I don't do. So that'll be interesting.
Is that what you're moving on to now?
Yeah, I'm just going to do 3.0 startup.
Yeah. Yep, well, that's a good idea. And so, okay, so you took your pick. Now, did you do anything at the end for contests, like the final week, or did you just roll out and when it was time to take picks, you just took picks?
I didn't do much of anything. The plan originally was I was going to go through the whole water loading and water cutting scenario.
Yeah.
And see, you know, try and maximize. I was even considering like going to get some sort of more professional looking photo done, rather than just taking the exact same place I took my before photo.
Mm.
But as it turns out, I didn't quite achieve the look I wanted, so I was frankly a little bummed out about it. And I guess doing my math, I knew I wasn't going to, but I don't know, I guess I had higher expectations or something. Because you guys run the numbers in terms of the rules of 7 and whatnot. I figured I needed to be at 185 or 180 probably to be at the leanness that I want. And I was at 195 at the end. So I'm probably still sitting at 12-13% body fat, something like that. Maybe a little bit less. And at that point, I didn't think water cutting would do much for me.
Right.
So I just got off the elliptical, took a shower, and took some photos.
Yeah, well, I mean, they worked out. They looked good to me. So,
yeah.
I mean, so, okay, so that's a pretty, I mean, simple-sounding process. There's nothing really complicated about what you did there. What would you say you learned about the whole process and learned, I guess, I don't know if it's about yourself or about dieting or about exercise. I don't know. What'd you learn? Let's just say it that way.
The couple of different things that I learned to do, and I guess I had little mottos or whatever that I would jot down on the top of my calendar. One was every calorie counts. So, and that was in my mind. Talked a little bit about or focused on food substitutions, and I'd never even thought about stuff like this. But I would try and make every calorie count. So if I could sub out a sugar-free or a low-cal version of whatever food I was eating, I would do it. So I kind of went through the kitchen and tossed out a bunch of stuff and found lower calorie versions of the exact same thing. So jams and tortillas and leaner meats and whatever you could find, there are versions of it that are at least lower calorie. Whether or not they're more healthy, who knows? And frankly, I didn't care. So I figured I'd only be doing this for 12 weeks or maybe 24 weeks or whatever it's going to take to get there. And then I'll be at a different point in my weight loss and calorie counting days. But
sure.
At some point I even do things that were clearly less healthy. So instead of what I would normally eat, a protein bar or an apple or something, which is sort of on the healthy scale. I could sub in a sugar-free popsicle, which, you know, will save me 100 calories and get me that sweetness craving.
You get to consume something. You get to go through the act of consumption. Yeah.
Right. So I could eat something and save calories, and then ultimately have to do less cardio, which was the main goal. Things that used to be staples of my diet, you know, well, not staples, but definitely snack foods like almonds and fruits that are pretty universally thought of as healthy, got subbed out with sugar-free Werther's caramel candies and sugar-free gum and just different things that I could have in my mouth and could chew on and get the saltiness or the sweetness sensation without spending the calories or earning the calories. Another thing I found are these shirataki noodles.
They're super low calorie.
Yeah, they're virtually zero calorie, which is just bizarre. They're, I guess, a product of some root, and they're formed in the shape, and they basically look like pasta. So you could eat, or I would eat, like this kind of noodle soup. So you take chicken broth and these noodles, which are basically zero calories, and broth is essentially zero calories, and put in your chicken breast that you would normally eat, and turn that chicken breast into the volume of, you know, two or three bowls of soup, noodle soup. And that would just be far more satisfying than eating the chicken breast alone.
Sure.
I suppose you can accomplish the same thing with lettuce or various vegetables, but I'm not particularly a vegetable or lettuce guy.
Yeah, no, those noodles are pretty satisfying for how low calorie they are.
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, that worked. Satisfied my cravings and kept me full.
Sure.
As best I could. My other little motto was everything is cumulative. And that one, to me, was my kind of big downfall before the contest. I do good for a couple of days, and I'd be like, I'll just, blow it off for the weekend and start again on Monday.
Yeah.
So you way overeat on Saturday and Sunday, and then you start your diet again on Monday. It's like, but all those calories you consume on Saturday and Monday have just wiped out everything from before and probably added on to more fat you need to lose now. So everything that you're doing, and I got the thing that triggered it for me too was people in the forums will say, okay, you know, there's a contest coming up. I'm not going to work out quite as hard or keep my diet quite in check because I want to have a worse before photo to have a bigger transformation.
Yeah.
Which is the most counterproductive thing ever.
Right, yeah, totally.
If your ultimate goal is to, you know, be lean, you know, if your ultimate goal is to win $200 in the contest, then maybe that's something. But the, yeah, I presume.
I mean, if your goal is to get in shape, don't spend one day going backwards.
Right.
Yeah.
So those were my two little mottos. The other thing which I like doing, which I haven't seen a lot of people talk about, is measuring my fat with little calipers.
And oh, yeah.
There's this little plastic thing called AccuMeasure, which I bought on Amazon for like $7. But in addition to doing the tape measures and the AI circumference things that make up your program, I would take weekly caliper measurements of basically my love handles and my belly fat in front.
Yeah.
Because I had certainly enough to pinch.
Yeah.
Back in the day when I was young, and might be too old for everybody listening, there was cereal commercials from Special K would be like if you can pinch an inch of fat in the belly, you're basically too big, and I guess you could resolve it all through eating Special K.
Yeah, but, I remember that stuff, the pinch an inch campaign, yeah.
The calipers thing was interesting, at least for me, because it's a measurement of just pure fatness. There was no water weight or minimal water weight skewing of the numbers. Because I have obviously enough fat to pinch, so I could go from whatever 22 millimeters down to 20 to 18 to 16 millimeters pinched, and follow that pretty routinely week by week. The weight measurements totally screwed me up. Like the scale to me was pretty frustrating and useless, because it would just be all over the map for me. I'm not sure why.
Well, I think bigger people like yourself and taller guys like 6 foot and up, the scale can be all over the place, like you just said, because we're big enough that we can be up and down just 5-6 pounds based on food, water, hydration status. Did you sweat a lot today? Did you sleep well? And have you been to the bathroom yet that day? Like, the bigger you are, the more the scale can fluctuate, and the kind of more crazy it can drive you.
Yeah, it was pretty horrible. It'd be literally like 5 pound swings. Like I'd go to bed at whatever 205 and wake up at 200, and like okay, and then eat what a fairly normal day and exercise a fairly normal day. So it should be a deficit of 1,000 calories, and I would have gained 3.5 pounds. Oh God, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, I like your idea of looking at the calipers instead.
Yeah.
And as long as you're taking, for people who think caliper, I mean, like you said, a cheap caliper is actually not that bad. And like you said, water's not going to, the scale can't mess that up. Water can't really mess that measurement up because there's almost zero water stored in your fat. And if ultimately fat's what you're trying to get rid of, and for most guys, we all store it very typically in that area. If you just take, like you said, the love handle side measure and then the iliac crest, the one kind of at the front, that's it. If that measurement's coming down, you're doing all right. And that way you don't have to worry about the scale messing with your head.
The other thing which helped me a great deal was the need, well, I guess it basically comes down to Brad's How Much Protein book. Because I was eating ridiculous amounts of protein, thinking that I needed it, and it was just bulking me up. And when I read that book and listened to the podcast about it, it had a huge weight off my back and my shoulders. I said, okay, forget protein. Don't even worry about it, because I like meats and fish products enough that I'll get whatever 80 grams that I need. I'm not even going to worry about it. So I basically took all those protein bars and shakes and whatever and largely just threw them away because there's just no need for them. It was just lopped off huge sums of calories for me that I wouldn't need. So I was probably eating 4 or 5 of those protein bars a day, which is like 1,000 calories, easy. Whenever I get hungry, I'm like, oh, here's a healthy snack. Right. And down these protein bars. And, those things are just pure sugar and fat in there for the most part.
I mean, if you actually look at their breakdown, they're not much different than a candy bar, just with slightly more protein.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. It's a candy bar with added protein. So,
But there's lots of sugar. There's lots of sugar. I mean, they're coated in chocolate. They got peanut. I mean, they taste good. I mean, they're getting really good at flavoring them because I think they realize people don't care. All people do is look at the protein count and then are happy as hell that the bar also tastes like an O. Henry. And guys don't care. Like, people will just go buy the one that tastes the best as long as there's protein in it. No. What's your we're getting on to the end here. So what's your final words of advice for other guys like us, I guess?
for me, I was basically concentrating almost entirely on fat loss. So the number one tip for me would be just do the math and track everything. And by that, I mean just figure out how fast you want to lose your weight and figure out then what deficit is required and just track the calories. It's not, it's really quite simple in its presentation. All you do is count up your calories and how much calories you burn and make sure there's a deficit in there. And if you can measure it to the extent that you can get a certain deficit a day or a certain deficit a week, that's all you need to do. You can overeat some days, undereat some days, and do eat stuff, eat whatever it is you want to do. It doesn't really matter. Eat exactly the same thing every day. It hardly matters. Just get that deficit. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, I mean, and like you said, it's, you can try going below, like significantly below BMR. If it doesn't seem to work for you, that's fine. Just eat up to it, and it's like you've proved that it's definitely feasible to do, creating a significant deficit in the gym. So it can happen. It can happen multiple ways. But like you said, you got to do the math. All right, I think, if you don't have anything else, I think this is a good place to leave it.
Sounds great.
All right, so thanks for being on the call. So for Mike Schaefer, I'm John Barbin, and that's your Adonis Index Podcast.